Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I want to jump in because I've got an hour and a half worth of stuff I'm going to do in 40 minutes. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to probably be talking about this for the next couple of weeks. Let me start tonight before I give you the title of what I want to speak on. I just was in prayer in my office before tonight, and I just spent some time with the Lord. And I mean, there was a revelation that hit me, and I want to try to communicate it because it was in the Spirit, but I want to try to communicate it tonight because it really overwhelmed me. This stinking virus that's going across the world, it's not just a United States virus. I mean, it's affecting the world. Here's what it's doing. It's affecting, and this is what God kind of just somehow, I understand it, but I got to put it into words. It's knocking out the ability of people in their five physical senses to do what used to be normal in their five physical senses. Have you heard that one of the things that happens when COVID comes in is you lose your taste and your smell? Now, I've got other things that knock that out too. It's called allergies, but I hear that all the time, and I'm thinking, okay, there's two. And so one of the things, if I was the enemy, that I would try to do is I would try to keep people from hearing from God's people. Stay out of crowds. Where do you hear from God's people? In church. So we five physical senses, so we're not going to hear. The other thing is, right before church, you know what I did? I walked around and I touched, shook hands. Physical touch is an imperative thing in the physical. And I walked around and I shook hands and tapped people on the back. Hey, how are you tonight? Hugged a few people. My mama came in. Hi, Ashley. Hug. Keith Henson. Hi, Ashley. There. So we've got taste gone, we've got smell gone, we've got hearing gone, we've got physical gone, physical touch gone, and then we've got sight. If you stay home, and the only thing you're going to do is you're going to be able to turn on something that's social media or television. And what we're doing right now, I've never seen it, and I thought, wow, wow, wow. The enemy is using a virus so that we can take the five physical senses and try to get people to restructure how they receive. And the only way you can go back into society is to limit your physical touch. The only way you can go back into the work world is to stay away from people. And it's very difficult to talk someone 6 foot away and have intimate conversation. You just start thinking about it and those five physical senses. But here's what God did. As I was praying about that, it was just like revelation to me what was going on there. And then He said, here's what I'm trying to tell you. And what I want my people to know is that's why they've got to understand the importance of being led by my Spirit. And what I'm telling you, the only hope right now that the world has is for Christian people to not be led by five physical senses, but to be led by His Spirit. And if we can, that's just, in my prayer time right before church, that's just what God spoke into my heart. And I thought, if we're not led by the Spirit, then we're going to be looking for things in the physical, and there's going to be something that we're going to embrace in the physical, a vaccine, or, oh, now finally the mask is the new normal, and we're going to embrace something from the physical, and we're still going to walk out of what God's wanting us to do, and He's wanting us to be led by His Spirit. So I'm going to be talking about being led by the Spirit of God. the next couple of Wednesday nights. And here's why I'm not doing this on a Sunday. I just really think that our Wednesday night, it's not that there's not people that can't be here on Wednesday, because some of them can't because of work, but I just really want to talk to the core church tonight. And what I want to do is I want to set an example with the way we live. And so we need to start living like we are led by something different than the world's narrative. And that difference can't just be abolishing a world's narrative, but bringing on a different narrative, and that's the narrative of Jesus in our life. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to talk from Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew 11. A lot of you know this. It's when Jesus went up on the mountain. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and we've got to talk about this for a second. Led in the Spirit into the wilderness, Matthew 4, verse 1. Let's read some verses here together. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit. Okay, let's just stop there. Who was led by the Spirit? Who is our example? Okay, so Jesus was led by the Spirit. We're going to talk about being led by the Spirit. Let's see what happened. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Well, that's a lot of fun. Okay, I'm going to be led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit as our example, and he was led by the Spirit to be tempted. Have you not faced temptation to punch someone in the face or to bring Jesus on the... I mean, there's a temptation every day. I can't walk into a store without being tempted to do something. Everywhere I'm at. Tempted by the Spirit, this is Jesus, led into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Tempted by who? The devil. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This virus is the devil. And we as God's people have been led into a wilderness time right now to be tempted by the devil. Now we got to know what Jesus did here. And I know you're probably thinking, for all you people have heard this sermon before, you're going to think I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it in a way that's never, ever, I'm going to teach it from an avenue that, as the Lord has just really spoke to me, I am really confident there's some things in here we got to hear. So let's just read it. Verse 2. He was there tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted and he became very hungry. During that time, the devil, in the King James Version, it says the tempter, came to him. He came and said to him, if you're the son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, nope. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you're the son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they'll hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and says, I'll give it to you, he said, if you'll kneel down and worship me. Jesus, I like what he said here. He said, get out of here, Satan. The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away. And angels came and took care of Jesus. I really like this verse, because right now we need to be going home every night after what we're facing and letting angels take care of us. Yeah. I mean, really. We're in a place where I get home from town and I'm exhausted just because of the looks I got. Just because of something. I mean, you can't see a face. And I'm going, oh God, I need your help here. See, I am finding that the more I am walking in wilderness times, the more I have to depend on the word to deliver me. And then even after I stood on the word and the word delivered me, I still need some comfort from some angels. I still need some comfort. And don't think that's wrong, because Jesus needed that. Jesus needed that. I want you to know that people give more credit oftentimes to the devil than he actually has the power or the deserving to get. There are demons everywhere. Now, I'll just tell you, they're also right here in church. Oh, pastor, you couldn't say that. Let me just tell you a line that I used to hear all the time when I would sing and speak and be a part of Pentecostal churches. And I'm talking about the hardcore jumping over candles, Holy Ghost rollers, jumping over pews. They'd let the bobby pins fly and take off screaming. I'm talking about, I've been in some cat daddies now. And what was happening when I would go there, they'd be rebuking demons. I had someone come up to me at a church one time and just, eyes open, praying over me and waving the demons out of my face. And I was a little Baptist boy. And it was tough for me. I'm like, if I didn't have them before I walked in here, I probably got them now. You just stirred them all up. I don't know what's going on here. But the older I get, the more I recognize that there are demons everywhere. Here's a line I used to hear in a lot of these Pentecostal churches. We just plead the blood and no demons can cross the bloodline. I don't know if you've ever heard that statement. No demons can cross the blood. It's not that I don't understand what they're saying when they say that. I understand all about the blood, and I understand the power of the blood, and I understand that demons can't mess with the blood. I get all of that, but let me just tell you that if that were true, then churches would be flourishing way more than what they are right now because we don't understand what the blood has really done for us. We're asking for healing. And we're claiming the blood. And we're saying by his stripes we were healed. And we're saying all this stuff. And we're walking around and we're trying to manifest a healing. And we're gauging everything by a physical walk instead of a spiritual walk. And when we're talking about being spiritually led, we have to look at some of what Jesus did. Do you know about 50% of the sicknesses that Jesus healed or cured in Scripture were demonic of nature? I don't have time to go through every one of these scriptures and show you the Greek and the Hebrew. I just want you can research this on your own if you have a problem with it. But there are many reasons why things in our present day appear to be incurable. And here's why. Because a lot of the things we're watching are not physical. They're demonic. And if you would get rid of the demons, you'd get rid of their affliction. Look up scripture. See, many don't understand blindness was a devil. In scripture, blindness was a devil. Dumbness, the inability to speak, was a devil. It was a demon. And you cast the demon out, and all of a sudden there was talking that was available. See, we have been given as God's people, being led by the Spirit, the ability to cast out demons. How many of you have done that lately? So we don't talk about it a lot, but I think half of what's going on, I don't think it's any different in Jesus' day than it is right now. There's a bunch of demons that are causing afflictions in people's life, and if we don't have some people being led by the Spirit, we're not getting any demons cast out. And what's happening is people still trying to live by the flesh, and when they're living by the flesh, then all of a sudden this virus comes in, and now we don't know how to live, and they create a new normal, and our whole society changes, and where's God? And what God's saying is, I haven't left you or forsaken you. I've not been anywhere. I just need somebody to cast a demon out. Well, who's going to cast a demon out? Only those who are led by the Spirit. But if you're led by Fox News, you're not going to be casting no demons out because they don't ever talk about that and there's nothing being taught about it. Now, I might be stepping into just a little bit of an uncomfortable position because I've not talked a lot about this, but we've got to talk about it. There's got to be a time where from the God's people, we are equipped to do some things that in our present day and age, we haven't been equipped to do. But you got to know this. It's not because God hasn't equipped us. He did it 2,000 years ago. Many have given the power to the devil that God gave to us. God's people. See, the truth is the devil can't do anything but tempt you. That's the only power he has. The power of deception. You can't see Satan do anything without some person to flow through. Yeah. Satan has no power unless he deceives somebody. He has no power, and you need to know that. There is demonic warfare going on, and you know what it's being done? It's being done through people. who don't understand the importance of walking and being led by the Spirit of God. Satan can do nothing without the consent of people. So his only real power is deception. And when we yield to him, we empower him. When we yield to him, we empower him. He is using your power and your authority, and he's doing something that we need to recognize and say, in the name of Jesus, you've got to get out of here. Your power as a human being, just a human being, is far superior to the devil's power. All right, you may never have heard this before. But he's got to get your cooperation to get you in bondage. He's got to get your cooperation. I'd love to preach on all that and go deeper, but I got to get to my point, or I'll be on this for 12 weeks. The tempter, the devil came, and all Satan could do was tempt him. Now, let me just prove this to you, because it's the same exact story with Adam and Eve and what Satan did to them. I love the types of shadows of the Old Testament. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve, he didn't come against Eve like a roaring lion. He didn't come and hold her head down with his knee and say, I'm here to hold you down and I'm going to kill you if you don't eat this fruit. That's not what he did. He didn't come as a lion. He didn't come as a tiger. He didn't try to imitate him. He came and he talked to them and he tried to deceive them. And you say, well, he came as a snake. That's pretty scary. No, he came before what you know a snake is now. See, Genesis 3, verse 14 says, because you've done this, you're cursed more than all the animals, domestic and wild. You crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live, and it'll cause hostility between you and the woman. My wife hates snakes. Between her offspring. I want you to know the reason that the snake is so freaked out about is because of the curse on a snake. And I get that, but know this. There was a time that a snake wasn't looked at like a snake is now. And so when it came, it was real subtle. Somehow it even was able to come to Eve and have a conversation. Now, I don't understand all of this. I've got thoughts on it, and I could tell you, but it would be, thus saith Ashley, and I want to stick to the Bible. I just know that the snake, and I just don't even like that word. I don't even like serpent. All of those explain him after the curse. So something came up, whatever it was that turned into a snake later. He came to Eve as something different, and he came up and he said, I just want you to know I would like for you to eat of this. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it, but he came. Let's go back to Jesus. What did the devil do when Jesus encountered him? He said, if you are the Son of God. Why is that so significant? The temptation was not for Jesus to turn stone into bread. The temptation was not to jump off the pinnacle. The temptation was to get Jesus to doubt who he was. Satan came against his identity. Now, some of you are thinking, no way, he knew he was God. Jesus knew he was God. Hebrews 4:15, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way like we are, yet he did not sin. All right, so if he was tempted in every way we are, then you have to know Satan offered a true temptation. And one of the biggest temptations, and it's paralyzing, is when you don't know who you are. It's paralyzing. You don't know who you are. You've heard who you are maybe, and you've caught a glimpse of who you are, but you confront the devil as a mere human being, and you don't really realize that you are what God said you are. You have the power that God said you had. You don't realize that, and all of a sudden that Satan, his demonic influence, has an ability somehow to deceive you, and it only happens when he threatens your identity. I love this. Since Jesus was tempted every way that we've been tempted, it was possible for him as a man to have temptation to doubt. Jesus was tempted to doubt that he was who he said, who he was. And you got to think about this. When Jesus was born, he was Lord at birth. I mean, you guys have, obviously we know that. He was Lord at birth. The angel said, come see Christ, the Lord. So he was Lord when he was born. He didn't grow into being Lord. He was Lord when he was born. Now, Jesus was divinity. He was God with us. He was divine. Jesus means the anointed of God. He was divine. Jesus was God as a little boy, in a little body. He was put into a physical body and he was birthed, and his physical body was natural. And let me just say, his physical body had limitations. Maybe you've never been taught this, but I think it's real important that we grasp this, because we have to identify who Jesus was so that when we're modeling life after him, we have to understand who we are. Luke 2, verse 52 says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He increased. He increased in wisdom and stature. When I graduated high school, I was like 5'7", and I was like, God, please just let me increase in stature. And he answered that prayer. It just went out and stood up. Increase in stature, increase in stature, increase in wisdom. Here's what you can know. When the Bible says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, that tells me something. Since he increased with that, means at one time he had less of it. You got to read it for what it is. So his soul and his mind, will, and emotions and his physical body grew. It grew. It got more and more. I'm not attacking. Now, you need to hear me. I'm not attacking his divinity. In the spirit, he was Lord at his birth, and he was God in his spirit. But his human body that was small when he was born, he didn't come out of the womb speaking Hebrew. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but it's important to know that. He didn't come out knowing how to walk, and when he fed himself the first time or when he picked up the spoon, he probably missed his mouth just like you did. I watch all of my granddaughters, and it's really a neat time to watch them finally hit the mouth. But you know, very seldom wherever they're sitting at is there not some food on the floor. And just know, I believe that probably wherever Jesus was sitting at, and starting to learn how to use whatever utensil, whatever. He had to learn how to control his bowels. You ever thought about this? No, I don't want to think about it. Well, let's move on. He was in a body. It wasn't a sinful body, but it was a physical body. Are you hearing that? We don't look at our kids as sinning when they miss. We don't look at them as sinning when we're changing their diaper. We don't look at any. So you got to understand there was a growth that took place in Jesus. And Jesus had to grow and increase. He had a mind that was susceptible to all of the doubts and the questions that you and I have. Now, he didn't give in to them, but he was capable of it. See, you got to get that. That's just very, very important. He was capable of sin in his body, and the whole temptation was real. And if he wasn't capable of sinning, then the whole temptation would just be a farce. There'd be no reason to read it. It's just a formality that he had to go through, and it wouldn't make sense for us. He didn't give in to any of them, but he was capable of giving in. Satan came and said, if you are the Son of God. It's the exact thing that happened with Adam and Eve. It's exactly what happened to them. They were perfect. And then Satan came and said, has God really said you can't eat of every tree in the garden? Well, he said, yeah, but this one, and Eve said, God didn't mean that. He knows that if you eat of that, you'll then know. And Satan, what he did is he attempted to deceive them, and guess what? He did. And he deceived them of who they were and what they had. Say that again. He deceived them of who they were and what they had. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. The truth is, they had more before they ate of the fruit than they had after eating the fruit. They had more before, but they didn't understand their own identity. They didn't understand what God had given. They started doubting that they may not be the object of an all-loving, all-knowing, all-caring, all-creating God. Is that not just where we're at today? They begin to believe that God was holding out on them. They doubted their relationship, and there was zero reason for them to doubt what God had set up. No reason at all. He'd taken care of them perfectly. He had an environment that was created just for them. He had food. He had health. He had authority. He had created a place. There's a good word. He had created a place for them to have the life that he wanted for them, and in a talking snake convinced them that they weren't everything they could be, and you need to do this, and you can be more. It's the same temptation that Satan came to Jesus with. If you are the Son of God, then do this and prove it. See, it wasn't about the stone turning into bread. It wasn't that. It was Satan trying to get Jesus to doubt who he was. And here's the thing you have to know. After trying to explain all that, Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist, he recognized Jesus walking up. And here's what I love. John recognized Jesus in the spiritual, not the physical. He didn't recognize him because of the physical being that he was, but he recognized Jesus by the Spirit. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus asked John to baptize him, and he said, hey, Jesus, now I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie your sandals. Mark and John said, now, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You ought to be baptizing me. Matthew 3, verse 15. Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Every scholar, theologian will say, when this voice came, it was an audible voice that was heard in the physical. Okay, so if it was an audible voice that was heard in the physical, and a lot of Greek reasonings behind it, it was an audible voice that came from heaven and said, this is my Son. What you need to know is Jesus right then, in his recognizing that he was the Son of God, had been given the word. Here's who you are. Here's who. Do we got anybody saved in here tonight? Okay, we got a bunch of people who have accepted Jesus. Why did you accept Jesus? Because you realize that without him, you were nobody, but with him, you were somebody. I can have heaven, and then if I learn a bunch, I can have some promises right here on earth. That's one of the reasons you keep coming to church. You keep reading your Bible. You keep diving in. I want to know more. I want to know that there's more that I can learn and I can be a part of, and I can grow in not only stature, I can grow in not only wisdom, but I can grow in the things of God to the point that that overwhelms the other two things. An audible voice from heaven. Jesus has a word from God at his baptism. And then he immediately, in Matthew 4, goes into the desert. Led by the Spirit, and wham, Satan. Don't you think for a second that people don't get saved and the next day they're in the wilderness facing Satan. Don't think for a second that don't happen. They find out who they are, and then wham, what just happened here? Now here's what I want you to see. God had given Jesus the revelation through his spirit man, and it was all a matter of faith that Jesus was walking in soul and physical being. It was a matter of faith that he had spoke from his spirit that was doing what Jesus growing up had to have a place at some point where Mary set him down and said, okay, Jesus, we need to talk. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but Jesus, we need to talk. Something I got to tell you. Joseph isn't your dad. I know it would be horrible. Joseph isn't your dad. Actually, no man was your dad. The Holy Spirit, he overshadowed me, and I conceived, and I don't know what to tell you, but you were born supernaturally, and you're God. I mean, have you ever thought of that conversation? Mary had that with Jesus at some point. And when he then heard John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, there was something in him that had already came from a physical, from a soul perspective. But there was something that happened when he was baptized. I'm just telling you, the Spirit of God did something supernaturally. When you got saved, something happened supernaturally. There was something that happened that said, here's who you are. And God came and told Jesus, behold, this you need to know. That is my Son. I'm so pleased with him. And I just think that's a cool point to really recognize, because even though he was 100% God, he was 100% human, and Jesus himself had to believe that he was God, and he believed that by faith. Now, the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, was there to help convince him so that he would accept it, and he had to accept it, and he had to accept it by faith. If we're going to walk in the Spirit through faith, you need to know that we have to be led by the Spirit to have the thinking right in a world that is continually putting down the supernatural, is continually putting down the physical. A virus that's destroying the physical. We've got to have some people led by the Spirit. And I just know that I don't know if Jesus had ever heard anything audibly before, but I knew by reading scripture that he had a real experience where he heard a word directly from God. The real temptation that Jesus faced from Satan was trying to get him to doubt that he was who he was told that he was. The struggle was, is he going to be what God said? And the revelation that he had of who God said he was, or was he going to trust the fact that he could turn a stone into bread? This is a great point. Was he going to believe that he could turn a stone into bread and do something in the physical, or was he going to believe, I'm the Son of God and I'm going to respond to everything with the Word of God? And if you read, well, if you just read it over and over again, if you're the Son of God, do this. What he was trying to do is say, do this, not because that was the temptation, was he was trying to get him to say, is this really who you are? And doubt himself. And that would have been sin to give into that. We've got Christian people giving in to God's not able to do what he said he was able to do, because we're not responding with the word. We're responding with the physical. We're responding with how we think, how our emotions are moving us, or how we feel. Whether you know it tonight or not, it's the same thing we are going through every day. God has said all of this about you. There are scriptures that talk about you, and you're going to stand on them and believe them over what the enemy is saying and doing, or you're not. And at some point, if we don't get some Christians being led by the Spirit, I'm just telling you, our society has no hope. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You're the head. You're not the tail. You're above. You're above only. You're not beneath. You're above. Jesus said in John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. I've done what I needed to do. Now I've given you the power to go out there and do some of this. See, if you're a believer, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You'll cast out demons. You've got to have scripture after scripture, word after word that's been spoken about you, spoken over you, and then finally gets in you and it becomes who you are. And then you walk in a world and someone says they have a problem and you lay hands on them and say, let's just believe God for you. At some point, we've got to let the spirit man overpower what the world's trying to scare us into doing physically. I'm going a lot deeper on this next week. The word says some things about you that you have to know in your spirit, man, so you can be led by your spirit. It's not an experience in the physical or a type of service that you're in. It doesn't have to be conveyed to you through goosebumps. Well, I didn't get any goosebumps there. If you're trying to get goosebumps to feed your spirit, man, you've messed this whole thing up. See, and that's what I've watched for years and years, and now I'm watching churches fold and fall apart. Why? Because we're waiting for something to happen in the physical for us to return to church. We can't wait for something physical to happen for us to be in the presence of God. It's not an organ playing in the background when I say a really good word. Boom, 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 boom. Amen, Pastor, that was good. I've been teaching a Bible class at CMA. And let me just tell you, I'm sitting there watching students and I can watch their faces and they're engaged in what's being said. You know why? Because they want the word. I told them, if you want a credit, then get out of this class. The credit's a byproduct. We've got to get to a place where we want the word. Or we want the goosebump. Or we want the physical. Or we want the organ. Just know this church will not have an organ. Waiting for somebody to shout. Waiting for somebody to yell. I'm looking around because I really want to raise my hands. Do I need to do it like this? Do I need to do it like this? Do I need to do it like this? How do I raise my hands? Right now I'm trying to get them out of my pocket. Why are we so caught up on trying to do something in the physical to get something that we should already have in the spirit? We've got to get to a place where we're led by the Spirit of God. It is a supernatural truth that affects a daily walk. I have learned that what brings on the power and the Spirit of God is a knowing and a believing what He said about you, and then it will be followed by you being led by the Spirit into a wilderness and being tempted by the devil. But here's the thing. We have the word of God to back up everything, but not just know this. There's not always a goosebump, and there's not someone else always to lay a hand on you. So at some point, we're going to have to get to a place in our walk with God that we're led by the Spirit, not led by a physical or an emotional or a mind. We've got to be led by the Spirit. Well, how do we do that? We get in His presence. And it can't just be Sundays and Wednesdays. We've got to get in His presence every day. I've got so much more to say. You got to be here next week. You got to be here next week. There are some stories that have happened, and I'm going to compile more between now and next week. Just in my own personal life that I'm hearing, that I'm dealing with, and I'm talking to people, and what they're dealing with in this world, I promise you there are people right here dealing with it. You're getting kicked out of stores. You're being asked why you're doing this. You're walking in somewhere and you're trying to bring in a better presence and everybody's mad and out of shape. And I mean, I'm just telling you, sometime we're going to have some people led by the Spirit and people drawn to the people that are led by the Spirit, or the people standing up saying, I'm going to be led by the Spirit regardless of what everybody else is doing. At some point, that's what we've got to have. We got to have happen. Y'all hearing any? Are you getting what I'm talking? We got to be led by the Spirit.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.